Welcome everyone to Mindset 52 with J.R. Rivera. Today we have my good friend Rosendo Robles, local artist and musician. Thank you, Rosendo, for joining me.
Hey man, thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation. I've never done a podcast before, but it was on my bucket list.
You're gonna see. It's gonna be super easy, man. It's gonna be a good time.
No, I'm excited. I feel like I was this is a part of me. Like I was meant to be on one of these.
100%. You know? Hopefully this is the beginning of a lot of them. So yeah.
Primeramente Dios, man.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Thank you so much for joining me, man. I've been wanting to ask you to be on the show, and thank you so much for agreeing. One of the biggest things is that I wanted to hear your story, man.
Yeah.
So you're an artist, a musician here in the Midwest, mm-hmm. and you're going through your own journey, a very special journey. A journey that has taken you very many places.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about Rosendo. Where do you come from? Tell me a little bit about your story, man.
You know, I'm a mixture of a lot of things. Pues primeramente, pues de mis padres.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's from El Paso, Texas. Border town, ahí, la frontera de Ciudad Juárez, Chihuahua. My dad's from Ciudad Juárez. My dad was from Ciudad Juárez, Chihuahua.
Chihuahua.
Chihuahua. Yeah, I was raised there for a few years as a kid up until I was about five, six years old. You know, after that, we moved to Fort Worth, Texas for a little bit, lived there for a couple of years. And then after that, we moved up here to Nebraska. Porque pues mi dad, you know, he was in the construction field for, you know, the majority of his life.
Yeah.
Entonces he was always striving. Kind of like, you know, fulfill the American dream, I guess you can say,
mm-hmm.
or fulfill his dream to, you know, he was always striving for more.
Yeah.
And for more. And he you know, voy a llevar a mi familia para acá. And I'm going to take my family over here. I'm going to take my kids over here because I want them, you know, to grow up or to have, you know, something better than what I had.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was his mentality or that was his goal, because he never told anyone, but that's what I feel that he wanted.
Yeah,
he just wanted something better and bigger and more and more.
This underground mission that they have in their mm-hmm. veins, right?
Yes. Yep. And but I gotta rewind back before I was, you know, El Paso and all that. I was born in Kansas. I was born in a small town. Wow. Yep. I was born in a small town. Emporia, Kansas.
Yeah, I know where that's at. Yep. I passed through there quite a bit. I go to Dallas a lot. So.
Yeah, and that's where I was born. I was never raised there. I've been through there. I've been there a couple of times in my lifetime, a few times, just stopped by. Hey, this is where I was born. Yeah. Pero, yet again, you know, my parents lived there for you know, I think maybe a couple of years before I was born, or a year before I was born. And pero yeah, and then after that, you know, I was born, I was raised, and I pretty much, you can say I grew up here in the Midwest. We got here to Nebraska when I was about six, seven years old.
Here to Omaha?
In Omaha, yeah. We lived in North Omaha on 33rd and Webster Street. We lived in some apartments.
Yeah.
Right there on 33rd, Webster, ASD. And, you know, they were the happiest times of my life. Man, when I think about it, they were the happiest times of my life, even though, you know, there was a little bit of a struggle. But I didn't see it though. Right. I didn't see it because, you know, we, gracias a Dios, man, thank God we always had something to eat, you know. Siempre habían frijoles,
yeah.
Siempre había sopa, siempre habían tortillas, siempre había, you know, pan or whatever, but yeah, I'm just fortunate, man, and we grew up here. I grew up here. I have a younger brother who is, he's 25. I have a younger sister, Carmen, who is 36. And I have an older sister, Esmeralda. She's 4 years older than me. She's 41. Entonces, we grew up, you know, we grew up pretty good. It's touching to me because, oh man, my parents did. It's like you didn't see the struggle then,
yeah.
But you see it now. And,
it's all right, man. Take your time.
You know, they bought a mobile home.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the newest mobile home, but they bought it in payments.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, going with them and just making the payments.
Yeah.
And then I remember when we got it, and man, it was cool. It was cool times. So they bought that mobile home, and we still have it to this day.
Yeah.
They still, well, my dad passed December 6th.
Yeah.
Last year. And, but my mother still lives there.
Which, by the way, very sorry to hear about
that. Thank you. But yeah, I remember, you know, they paid it off in payments. And I remember, you know, when they bought it, we started renting a little space in a mobile home park in Elkhorn, Nebraska.
Sure.
So after we lived here for a couple of years, we move up there, and I remember going up Dodge Street just seemed endless.
Yeah.
You know, we went all the way up there to 204th.
Había cornfields.
It was cornfields, and I think from like 114th, 120th, yeah. It was just a 2-lane highway.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember going. And I remember we started to live there, and, you know, we didn't have water at the beginning. So we didn't have water at the beginning, and, you know, we had to wait a few days for our utilities to come on and stuff like that, but we stayed there.
It's crazy how those experiences, they're so simple, but those are raices, man. Those mm-hmm. those are things that just stay with you.
Yeah.
They stay with you in your principles and how you, your work ethic, what you do and how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's incredible because a lot of us, you know, immigrant families, you know, we start off with stories similar to that.
Yep.
And man, they don't leave.
Yeah.
You keep them in your soul.
100%
in your soul.
100%. And you want to, I have children and I want to, you know, implement all, not have them go through what I went through.
Right.
But kind of teach them.
Yeah.
This is what.
Which is so difficult to do.
Correct.
Because how do you replicate that feeling, yep. Right?
Yeah. 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 You just try to explain it as best as you can.
Yeah.
And maybe if there's a little situation where you're like, oh, I'm going to test my son, see what he thinks. And then you make him go through a certain similar situation like that,
yeah.
Just to see his reaction, you know, or her reaction, my daughter's reaction. But, yeah, so we lived there, you know, we lived in that mobile home park for a while.
Yeah.
I from fifth grade, I started fifth grade in Elkhorn Public Schools.
Yeah.
Entonces I was, my sister and I, well, my two sisters, my brother wasn't born yet. My two sisters and I, we lived in that's where we went high to school. I was in fifth. I remember I entered fifth grade. I started the fifth grade in Elkhorn Public Schools. I was the only Hispanic kid in my grade.
It's predominantly white, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My sister too, Carmen, she was the only Hispanic girl. I think there was another one, but she didn't speak Spanish.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, she was the only, we were the only, like, around the only Hispanic kids in that school.
Yeah.
And it was tough at first. It was really hard at first because, you know, man, kids are cruel.
Yeah.
Kids are cruel, and they'll say what comes to their mind. So, you know, of course, you know, the little smart racial
yeah.
comments and stuff like that. But I've always been a real cool, calm, and collect person. So, you know, I've always found the positive in the situations.
Yeah.
And I've always, you know, said to myself, hey, you know, I remember when I was a kid and you know, we were in class or whatever, or we were at recess or whatever, and somebody said something really smart, or somebody said, you know, something to kind of aggravate me, I'd be like, man, I'm going to make this dude my friend.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude's going to be my friend by the end of the year, in a few months, by the end of the year.
Watch. That's unique. Yeah.
I'm going to show this dude like,
yeah.
That I'm not what he's saying.
Yeah.
Y aunque me diga cosas, you know, aunque me lo voy a ganar este cabrón.
Yeah.
You know, va a ser mi compa y lo va a ser mi compa y va a ver que soy una persona de buen corazón.
Yeah.
Entonces, that's how it went, man. And it was tough at first. Excuse me. It was tough at first in Elkhorn Public Schools, but, you know, we got through it. And, you know, we all graduated from Elkhorn. All of my brothers and sisters, my sisters, my brother graduated from Elkhorn High School.
Yeah.
not the there's Elkhorn South, there's Elkhorn North, the original Elkhorn,
yeah,
the Antlers, Elkhorn Senior High. Entonces you know, we that's where we graduated from. Pretty much, I guess you could say was raised. We were raised there,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, we still had that. Todavía tenemos nuestras raíces mexicanas.
Yeah,
you know, because at home, el español, la música mexicana,
right?
You know, las tortillas, everything, la comida, you know, and my parents always el español. Both of my parents, but my father knew English. My mother knows English as well.
Yeah.
So we had that bilingual, excuse me, we had that bilingual household. We were fortunate enough to have had that that bilingual, you know, the bilingual household,
yeah.
You could say. Because my father, you know, he came to the United States when he was 6 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
With
yeah.
my grandparents from Juarez. Well, from Juarez.
I guess that community there, Juarez and El Paso, is very,
yep.
very connected.
Yep, yeah. yep. Entonces, mi papá, pues, y mi mamá, pues, my mom was born here, pero they went to school in El Paso and everything.
Hey, everyone, sorry to take you away from today's episode, but I did want to give a huge shout-out to Kano Complete Cleaning, today's sponsor. Kano Complete Cleaning sets the standard for going above and beyond in residential cleaning, commercial cleaning, and floor maintenance. From spotless windows to immaculate floors, they tackle every detail with innovative techniques and unmatched dedication. Whether it's a home, office, or industrial facility, Kano Complete Cleaning transforms spaces into something extraordinary. Exceeding expectations is just the beginning. Young individual.
As a kid, I would get picked on a lot. And I wasn't the biggest kid.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it was because my size and maybe you know, because of the I guess you could say, I don't want to make it a racial thing, man, but maybe my ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, kids are cruel and you know, they'd call you this and they'd call you that. And, you know, nunca falta, man. I mean, I'd get picked on a lot, man. Even before, you know, I remember before school, man, we used to live in some projects and over there in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, there was some Hispanic kids and Mexican kids. And, man, they used to be mean to me.
Yeah.
Man, they used to, you know, just...
Yeah, kids are cruel, man.
Throw me around, man. Crazy. Throw me around. And my dad would tell me, man. My dad would tell me. He's like, hey, ¿sabes qué? You know, if you get your ass kicked one more time, si te parten la madre, yo te voy a partir la madre si no yeah. te defiendes. And, yeah, man, they kept picking on me, man. And my dad was like, you know what? That's it. And, you know, I got picked on a lot at school. I got picked on a lot. And he's like, hey, you know, let's take you to a boxing gym para que aprendas a defenderte. Vamos a llevarte al gimnasio de box. So, you know, I started boxing, man. I think I was beginning of sixth grade.
Oh, wow. You were young.
Mm-hmm. End of fifth grade, beginning of sixth grade. And I started training. And, you know, I fell in love with the sport.
Here in Omaha?
Here in Omaha. I started training at the, there was a club. It was called the Downtown Boxing Club. I boxed there for about a year and, you know, I learned the basics there and, you know, it was a good time. But, you know, after that, there was a little miscommunication between myself, my father and, you know, the coaches there.
Mm-hmm.
Entonces, we decided to take a different route and go to another gym in North Omaha, the CW Boxing Club. Entonces, that's where I met Terrence. That's where I met...
he was training there at the time?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he had already trained there before, but then he had taken some time off to do other sports.
Okay.
Yeah. And yes, so I started training there, and I already had 1 year's experience. I think I had 3 or 4 fights with the Downtown Boxing Club. So I already had a few fights under my belt.
Yeah.
And I started boxing at the CW Boxing Club under the tutelage of Midge Miner and Carl Washington. And, man, just everything. I could say my amateur career took off from there.
Yeah.
I started going to national tournaments.
Oh, wow.
Started placing in national tournaments.
You took it really seriously then.
Yeah, yeah. So I was in it. I was in it, you know, and that was the only sport I played.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't play. You can't play boxing.
Right.
Well,
you can't play boxing. Yeah, you can call it playing, but it's not.
Yeah. That's so. I was an amateur fighter, and you know, I was getting ranked, man, and I was, you know, beating some pretty talented fighters at the national tournaments. I don't know if you know, there's a fighter. He was a welterweight champ, Danny Garcia, is from Philly. I beat him in the amateurs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was a WBC and I think WBA welterweight champion. But yeah, I beat him in the amateurs. After a while, you know, I was fighting for a while, and all of a sudden, you know, this black kid comes in. And he's like, hey, man, you know, they got this little new little kid, and he's coming in, and, you know, he's going to, he says, you know, he wants to spar with you, and he's going to whoop you, and this and that. You know, and I was never like the shit talker, you know, mm-hmm. or the, you know, the aggressive, like, come on. I was like, okay, you know, cool. That's what he says, you know.
Yeah.
So be it, whatever. I guess when the time comes, you know, we'll see what's up. So, yeah, man, we got in there, we sparred. And, you know, he had been out for a while. He had been out for a while. And, I hit him with some body shots and everything like that. And he just wasn't in shape.
Yeah.
He just wasn't in shape. And you know, I knocked the wind out of him.
Yeah.
But
so you can say you knocked the wind out of Bud Crawford. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we were kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he tells me all the time, he's like, hey, man, he's like, you know, all those sparring sessions and all that, he's like, man, that's what kept me going.
Yeah.
He's like, that's what kept me going. And, you know, watching you train and, you know, us, cause man, it was crazy. Cause we'd get in the boxing ring and the whole gym would just get quiet. I'm like, Bud and Rosendo was sparring. Let's watch him. Let's watch him. Let's watch him.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Oh, boom. Oh, like boom, boom, boom. Oh, like, oh, like, damn, these guys are going at it. Like a fight.
Yeah. Went from sparring to getting a little serious.
And it's crazy because I heard this in another podcast. It's boxing's the only sport where you can hit someone as hard as you can. And at the end, man, you take off the gloves, man, you give them a hug and be like, hey, bro, love you, bro. You know, good shit. You know what I mean? You hit me with some gritty good shots, man. Thank you.
It's like a learning experience.
Yeah, it's the only sport where like you can do that. Like you can crack somebody. It's like, you know, at the end, hey bro, good work, man. I respect you. And it teaches you respect 100%. And so that's what was with me and Crawford. I mean, we'd duke it out, you know, as amateurs, as kids. But then, man, we would go to tournaments together. We won the nationals together.
Wow.
Yeah, we won the nationals together. He was 125 pounds. I was 132 pounds. And, you know, it was actually called the Ringside World Championships Tournament. So it was actually an amateur world championship. But we both won the nationals. He went off and won a few more national tournaments as he got older.
Those are incredible experiences.
Yeah, we were like this, man.
Yeah.
Like in the gym. It was like a competition because, you know, he's great. I'm great, but I'm not going to let him outshine me.
Right.
And him too. He's like, Rosendo's great, but I'm great. I ain't going to let Rosendo outshine me, you know? So I think that's what I tell a lot of people. That's what makes him so great.
Yeah.
Because we grew up in that gym. There was a few. You mentioned Grover Wiley earlier. Yeah. He's the one that retired Julio Cesar Chavez Senior.
Yeah.
You know, so we were sparring Grover, as amateurs, as teens. So Grover was a pro.
Yeah.
So and there was other pros in the gym.
That's incredible.
And our coach was like, "Yo, you know, get your asses in there, Mitch Minor, rest in peace." And he was like, "Yo, get your asses in there." He's like, I'm sparring him. Yeah, he's a pro. All right. So boom, boom, boom. Like, of course, you know, it started off, they would take it easy on us. Yeah. They would take it. But then, like, it got to the point where we were 17, 18, 19. And it was like, okay. Like,
different level of sparring.
It was different level. So Grover and the rest of the, you know, the pros were like, yo, you know, they helped us get to a certain level. And then, you know, when the pros weren't around, Terrence and I would get in the ring.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, I think that's what, you know how they say iron sharpens iron?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I got you here. No, you, I got you. No, I got you. No, I got you. No, I got this. No, I got this. To the point where like, man, like we worked so hard to the point where it just got, that's how great. And I take my hat off to Terrence, man, because, you know, he took it to the next level. He, as a senior, 17 and older, amateur, he won some senior amateur titles and whatnot. But I think that's what helped him. And that school that we were taught at the CW Boxing Club,
yeah,
to spar with pros as we were amateurs.
Yeah.
To spar. Shit, you would come in the gym? Get your shit on. What? Like, I don't know. Let me see what you got.
Yeah.
Get your shit on. And they'd throw you in there with someone like me, who was an amateur,
yeah,
champion. You know what I mean? But they would tell me, hey, yo, work on your defense with him. You know, yeah, he's a new guy. But they would be like, yo, go kick his ass. Go kick Rosendo's ass.
I think as long as there's a little bit of humility, and if you're approaching it with a, hey, I'm here to learn, not so much, let's see how tough I am. That's 100% the, yeah, mentality that you, yeah, have to have for anything in life. Mm-hmm. And you get in, you get your ass kicked, man. That's going to happen,
yep,
in everything that you do. I'm sure there's experiences in the, you know, in the music industry, yep, that have knocked you down. It's all about getting back strong.
Correct.
In,
correct,
everything in life. And that's some of the fundamentals that you learn with sports, mm-hmm, especially around those kinds of people,
yeah,
that, man, they make such a big difference in the future. Uh-huh. What are some of the stuff that you can think of that, you know, is it just work ethic, or is it just the mentality? Because now I'm sure you can translate some of that stuff into the, mm-hmm, into the industry that you're in.
You know, I say this, and I've had talks with, you know, amateur boxing coaches. I've had talks with younger kids. You know, even people in music that have told me, "Hey, man, I look up to you. Hey, man, you know, your work ethic is second to none." Younger guys than I am. Younger guys than me, I say, man, you just gotta keep working.
Right.
You just gotta keep working, because I think I think my generation is one of the last generations who got that tough love.
Yeah.
Who learned how to grow up with that tough love, you know, because as a kid, I'd get spanked. As a kid, I'd get my ass whooped. My dad would whoop my ass. He wouldn't just whoop my ass.
Right. There's a lesson behind it.
I mean, if I don't learn with one time, sure, that he tells me, or two times that he tells me, of course there's something else coming.
Yeah. Consequences of life.
100%. Mm-hmm. And so I think I was, you know, now you can't treat individuals, you know, and you probably have been through this too. I don't know how old you are, but you probably have been
33.
You probably know what it is to, mm-hmm, you know, be at a somewhere and get cussed at, you know, and get your ass away. Okay, boom, I gotta get to work. You know what, right, I mean? Like, yeah, boom, boom. And nowadays you can't do that.
Right.
Nowadays you can't do that. You get in trouble. You get reported. Whatever.
The thin skin, man. That's, yeah, really what it, yeah, is. Yeah.
And I tell people, man, and you know, from even boxers, that, because I still work out. I go to Terrence's gym. I go to CW, and I tell these kids, I'm like, man, just do the basics, but do them to the best of your ability. You know,
that sounds so simple, but I think so many people, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't understand that.
Yeah. A lot of people want to cut corners, man. Ooh, you see a lot of social media, and a lot of people want to be what's on social media.
Yeah.
You're not on social media. You're not that person. You're not so and so. You're not him. Dude, you have to work. Do you imagine what that so and so, or what that person has gone through to be where they're at?
Yeah.
And to earn the followers or whatever, or the accolades that they have, you're not that person. You're your own person. And it's like, I like to I like to repeat what I heard. I heard one time, and this nowadays, we have a lot of followers, but not enough leaders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, bro, don't be like, you're your own person. Create your own image. Create your own style. Do what you got to do. Of course, learn from the others around you and what you see. But man, just work hard. Work hard.
I love it, man. Hey, everyone. Sorry to take you away from the episode, but I did want to give a huge shout out to Accents Insurance for sponsoring this episode. At Accent Insurance, their mission is to protect what matters most by providing personalized, reliable, and transparent insurance solutions. They are committed to serving their clients with integrity, proactive communication, and expert guidance, whether you're buying your first home, protecting your family's future, or recovering from an unexpected loss. As an independent agency, they partner with top-rated carriers to offer flexible coverage options tailored for your unique needs. Above all, Accent Insurance believes in building lasting relationships rooted in trust, service, and community. When life hits you hard, you won't face it alone. Accent Insurance treats your home, your family, and your future like their own, because that's how insurance should be. I wanted to steer our conversation, because I love hearing about your story, man. But, you know, I did want to say, you know, this whole show is primarily around tying everything that you're doing, your successes and your endeavors, with balancing your... Actually, before we get to the whole balance part, let's talk a little bit about your music career. Uh-huh. Tell me a little bit about Rosendo Robles, the music star. Yeah.
You know, I've always had music in my life, ever since I was a kid.
It's like in our veins, right?
100%. Si eres mexicano, man, la música con acordeón, el mariachi, con las guitarras.
It's a feeling.
Es algo que... I say this to everybody. I live music, bro. I live music. And you know, even the younger guys that look up to me, or ask me for, you got to live the music, man. If you really want to do this shit, you got to live the music. Well, what do you mean? Man, you eat, sleep, and breathe music. You eat, sleep, you go to my basement, you go to my house. There's instruments all over, bro. You wake up in the morning at my house. There's a speaker there with my phone. Boom. Ready to hit play and you can hear whatever you want.
You don't just talk about it. You live it.
Yeah. I listen to music more than I watch TV.
Yeah.
I don't watch TV. Yeah, I'm on my phone. But the majority of the time, man, I listen to music.
Yeah.
We can be hanging out, you know, having some waters, whatever, and I'll put music on. You know, everybody will also be watching the game. Everybody will also be watching a special on whatever, on TV. Episodes of whatever show or they like. ¿Sabes qué? Ponme unos corridos, ponme al Chalino Sánchez, ponme a whatever. And I knew in my heart, in my mind, I was like, man, I can't be doing this and I can't be doing boxing anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I had stepped away from the gym for some time now. And you know, after I won the Golden Gloves here in Omaha, I had stepped away for a while from the gym. And I was just doing other, I was doing other things. And I said to myself, I remember one time I was sitting in my car and I remember I had a beer in my hand. And I was like, man, I can't do this. So I have to find something else that I love, that I enjoy, that I feel that I could succeed in.
Yeah.
Something that I could put my heart into. So I was like, okay. I was like, man, I've always loved music. And there was people before I did music who would tell me, like, man, you got a good-ass voice.
Yeah.
Because I would just sing here and there, Juan Gabriel stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Man, you got a good-ass voice. Have you ever thought of going into music? And I was like, nah, I love music. They're like, man, you should try it. Even people when I was boxing, they're like, man, you got a good-ass voice. And you can dance. I used to do little breakdance stuff.
Yeah.
I won the talent show at Elkhorn High.
Did you really?
I won the talent show at Elkhorn High, yeah.
That's awesome.
Beatboxing and a little bit of hip-hop. I'm a huge hip-hop fan, too.
That's awesome.
By the way, that's what I'm telling you. Like, I'm a huge mixture of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I've learned a lot of things in my lifetime. But, so So I said to myself, man, let's do music. Let's do music. What's the quickest thing, or what's the what's que está mi alcance? What's at my reach right now that I can do with music? And I thought to myself, okay, well, I go to bars, I go to places here and there. A lot of friends have little karaoke machines. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's start doing karaoke's. I don't have a band. I can't play an instrument. My dad would play a little bit of guitar here and there. Okay, let's start doing karaoke stuff. So I would go to people's houses that have had karaoke.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have a few little drinks, whatever, with them. And I would just do songs. And I'd be on there for a few hours on the karaoke machine. There'd be like, I'd have like people, like my friends,
yeah,
sit on the couch. And their friends. And it'd be like, hey, otra, yeah, otra, cantas bien chingón. And I'm like, oh, man, okay.
How old were you when you started to understand that you had a talent for it?
I always felt that I had, I was on key. Mm-hmm. Like you have that, you know, when you're in music, you have your ear, you have a sense, and you could tell when someone has musical talent.
Right.
Or when someone has a vocal talent.
Yeah.
You know? So I always knew, I mean, like, man, like I'd hear somebody sing, like Juan Gabriel, yeah, Pedro Infante, Vicente Fernandez, and I'd imitate them, and my shit would sound exactly the same. I'd be like, man, I could.
You have a natural ear.
Yeah. And I'm like, and natural ears, natural vocals.
Yeah.
For it, so I'm like, man, I could do that. Or I'd hear somebody sing, and be like, eh. I'd be like, Like I could do that, and I could do it a little bit higher too.
Yeah,
I'm like
a bigger range of vocals.
Yeah. So higher range, so you can tell. I've always told myself, like, man, I could do this.
Yeah,
I could do this. So if I could do this naturally, like if I start working at it and get into it full time, I can probably, you know, take it to the next level.
Yeah.
So that's what I started doing. So I won a few karaoke. I won a karaoke tournament here. I think it was in like 2008. It was called El Verano Musical. It was sponsored by State Farm.
Really?
Yeah. It was sponsored by State Farm. Greta Ritchie.
Oh, yeah. I know Greta.
Yeah. She was sponsoring it. And it was a 3-month tournament every Sunday at Wakamaya.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
every Sunday at Wakamaya. So every Sunday at Wakamaya, you had a bunch of people. Boom. And it was for a few hours, too. So the main prize was $500 cash and a trip for two to Vegas.
Hey.
Everything paid for.
Did you win it?
Yeah. I won that. So I won that.
Ya te picaste. You're like, yeah, oh,
man.
Yep.
I was like, okay. You know, man, thank you. And I thanked everybody. And it was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough. I didn't think I was going to win, man. I didn't think I was going to in the final. In the very final concert, I didn't think I was going to win. Because there was this one guy who was singing, it was called like Nube Viajera by Alejandro Fernandez.
Vuelve a casa, Nube Viajera. Oh, yeah. That's a jam, too.
And he sang that. And this dude got off stage. And was going off with the crowd, and the crowd was like, boom, boom, like, yeah. And I was like, oh, man. I'm like, ya me chingo.
Yeah.
I was like, he got me. And I hadn't even performed yet.
Dang.
You know, so, but he was getting such a, and I saw him. I ran into him a few weeks ago. He shakes, man, great, cool dude. So he sang in the finals, and I was like, damn. And then everybody was like standing up. And I think he even got a standing ovation, bro.
Yeah.
And I was like, bueno, vamos a darle. This is what I practice for.
Yeah.
I would practice every night, man. I remember I'd practice every night. I'd practice my song 10 times. Every night before. Every week. The whole week.
Yeah.
Until Sunday. I do Monday through Saturday. My song that I was going to sing on that Sunday.
Yeah.
10 times. 10 veces, 10 veces. I would even write it down.
So you wouldn't forget anything of it.
So I would have it down to the T.
Yeah.
And this is what a lot of people don't understand. I'd go in a mirror, and I didn't even own a microphone then.
Yeah.
So I'd have like a comb.
Yeah.
Or a whatever, just something, a screwdriver.
Yeah.
And I'd practice how I'd practice my movement. I would practice how I was gonna, you know, I'd have pretend conversations with the judges. I'd pretend them asking me stuff in a mirror.
Yep.
That's what they say. You know, whenever you're crowd shy, go in a mirror and look at yourself and practice with yourself.
Yeah. I've done it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
When they have speeches or anything like that. Yeah.
Entonces, so I did that. I sang Secreto de Amor by John Sebastian.
Mm-hmm. And you already have the crowd warmed up, man.
Yeah. And man, I rocked the crowd.
Yeah.
And everybody was clapping and stuff. So in my head, I was like, and I think we've all done this. And what, you're doing something, but you're thinking something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was singing the song, Secreto, and I had practiced it, you know, down to the T, to the point where I could do that. I could sing the song, but in my head I was thinking, man, okay.
Muscle memory at that point.
Yeah, I got this. I got this. Yeah, it came down to I think it was me and him, the final two. And there were judges and ¿quién se la da Rosendo? El aplauso. And it was like, jeez. And then it came down to the judges. And the judges were like, you know what? Rosendo, your movement was on point. Your vocals were on point. This was a contest on stage. This wasn't for you to get off stage and go to the crowd. This wasn't a contest for the crowd.
Gotcha.
This was a contest for the stage and for us to judge you. So the judges voted in my favor because I kept it on stage.
Yeah.
I did what I had to do. Vocals, lyrics, everything was on point, and I won. And yeah, so from there, man, I was like, okay, boom, what's next? I was always setting little goals for myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, what do I have to do? I did this, that's done, boom. Vamos a moverlos a lo que sigue. Let's move on to the next. So then after that, man, I kept doing karaoke's. I kept singing a few karaoke's here and there. And then after that, I got a call from my mom. She was like, hey, mijo. She was like, va a haber un casting. And I said, okay. ¿Para qué, mom? She's like, va a haber un casting. There's going to be a casting in Chicago for La Academia. La Academia, the Academy. Which, La Academia was a show on the TV Azteca network in Mexico.
Oh, got it. Like a contest.
Yep.
To try to...
Kind of like the American Idol.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
From Mexico.
I think I've seen some clips of some of those.
Yep.
You were on it several times, right? Or was that a different one?
This was a different one.
Okay, okay.
So, La Academia, it was tough. So, they would do La Academia USA. They would do castings in the big cities, Chicago, New York, Miami, LA, Texas, Dallas. And they would get all of those contestants to one final USA casting. And the people who would advance, they'd go to Mexico to do one final casting Mexico. There were people from Italy, bro, coming. There were people from Spain coming.
This is a huge deal.
Huge.
The first real big experience for you.
Over 100,000 people tried out.
Oh, my God.
Over 100,000
people. How did it go for you?
So I went to the casting in Chicago, which was, I guess you could say, a filter.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay. They're like, we'll give you a call. So I got there, whatever. They gave me a call. Hey, man, you know what? You have been chosen to be one of the final casting in LA or the final Academia USA. The winners from there go to Mexico and do the final casting there. So I'm like, damn, how many castings? I'm like,
gotta really prove yourself.
I just wanted to like, I was like, oh man, okay, when's this, you know, when's this gonna end? And I guess you could say, bueno, so I get there, I go to the casting in LA, I meet a bunch of cool people. In LA, I was there from like 7 a.m. to 2 in the morning of the next day.
Oh, wow.
I was there all day because there were so many people. I was sitting on a sidewalk, I remember, waiting my turn with the number.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, I just want this shit to be over with. I just want to go get some rest. That's not the mentality that I think I should have had.
Yeah.
But so I get in there. I remember it's like midnight, bro. I did my final singing at midnight.
Yeah, exhausted.
And exhausted. Just kinda, yeah. Exhausted. But I was like,
shit, probably mentally drained.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, let's do this. And everything was a cappella.
Oh, wow.
No voice, no track, no nothing. We want to hear your voice. We want to see how you move.
That sounds intense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And some of the judges from Mexico were there. And they told me, they were like, after I got done singing, they were like, I sang a Juan Gabriel song. Which one was it? But anyways, I sang a Juan Gabriel song. And the lady was like, tú vas para México.
Hey.
Yeah. Entonces, I was like, I guess I'm in. Cool. So I came back to Omaha from LA, the final casting. Yeah. I remember I was working random jobs. I was doing construction. I was doing interior remodeling, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I go to the one in Mexico. I go to the Mexico final casting there. Same thing. Same thing. 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. Mm. 7 a.m. of the one day and then to 2 a.m. of the next day. And yeah, same thing, man. Same thing. And they told me, they were like, okay, they were like, it's between you and a couple of other people that are here. So we want to hear you sing one more time. I was like, damn, this is like my 10th time singing. They were like, well, we want to hear you a cappella. So I sang another Juan Gabriel song. That was my shit. Juan Gabriel was my shit. That was my...
That's a good range, too. That's,
yeah.
Yeah, he gets up there.
And it's tough to sing those songs. And I sang, tú, after I sang, they're like, tú vas a la casa de la academia. Felicidades.
Wow.
And I was like, what the? I was like, man, I'm in. So la academia, they keep you in a house.
Mm-hmm.
It's brutal. They keep you in a house. There's no windows. There's no clocks. It's like a training camp.
Yeah.
For singers. So they keep you in a house. No clocks. You can't even write. You don't have no pens, no pencils. They take away phones. They take away everything. You get one phone call a week. If that.
Just all music?
All music.
Training?
Physique,
or
gym work.
Mm-hmm.
Working on your figure. Drama acting. Classes, vocalization classes, and the only time you go out is when you have to go to the concert on Sunday.
Gotcha.
To the studio.
It's a whole experience. You're submerged into that.
Yeah, in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The very first Academia concert was in Silao, Guanajuato.
Wow.
It was the one, El Bicentenario. They were celebrating 100 years of the Mexican independence.
Wow.
And it was a huge concert, man. It was cool. I was, they call it sentenciado. I was sentenced to the point where you're on the brink of getting kicked off.
Yeah.
Yeah, kicked off. But they saved me. They saved me because of my, they were like, you know what? Rosendo worked really hard. And I think he deserves another chance. We were doing duetos. And I, for the first concert. And I did a duet. I don't know if you know who Pedrito Fernandez is.
The son?
Pedro Fernandez, the Mexican singer.
Yeah.
I was up against his brother.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Gerardo Fernandez.
Wow.
Who became my friend. Gerardo Fernandez had a big ass background.
Yeah.
Of music. You know, well,
so he's Pedro familia,
Fernandez.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Pedro Fernandez's brother.
Yeah.
So I was like, damn, they put me up against him. They really wanted to fucking send me home.
Damn.
So I was like, whatever, let's go. Si me sacan, me sacan. No hay pedo.
Pues sí.
But at least I'm here. I made it here. I got to do what I got to do. So I did that. They sentenced me, estaba sentenciado, to be booted off. And they saved me. They were like, yeah, man, you know what? He worked really hard. And I think he deserves a second chance. Yeah, whatever. So I go back. We do the same thing. The very next week, I get kicked off. I get kicked off. They put me in the seat where everybody's, you know, this person. And it was all by votes.
Yeah.
And I guess people from here were voting for me and everything like that. Pero so I forgot the lyrics to the song.
And oh, my gosh.
I was so nervous. I was
But those are learning nervous. Experience. I'm guessing you never did that again.
I was so nervous. And I dislike.
Isn't that crazy?
I dislike that song that they gave. Because they would assign you a song.
Yeah.
You didn't pick your song.
Oh, gotcha.
They're like, you're gonna sing this song.
Con más razón.
Yeah. And then they gave me a song called... It's called Ojalá Que Te Mueras by Grupo Pesado. Ojalá que te mueras, que tu alma se... That's a Norteño song. And I forgot the lyrics, bro. It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I forgot the lyrics. But That's I just crazy. Kept... I kept going.
Yeah.
I kept going. And they sentenced me and I was like, yeah, man, I'm out. I'm out. So I was in Mexico City for a month. La Academia House is in Mexico City, right?
Yeah.
So I was in Mexico City for a month. And, you know, after that, I was like, okay, man. I was like, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to come back and do what I wanted to do is get a band and have my own shows.
Yeah.
You know, and start presenting myself professionally.
Yeah.
So that's what I came here. I started, you know, hanging around at bars, going around clubs. Excuse me. And I met musicians. And, you know, there was a, you know, this guy approached me. One of the first person who you know, offered to give me a helping hand, Antonio Lopez, he had a band. And he's like, hey, muchacho. He's like, cantas muy bien y esto y este el otro. Yo tengo un grupo, te podemos acompañar.
Here in Omaha?
Yep. And I was like, wow, for real? He's like, yeah. He's like, we just got to start practicing. So we practiced 2 months before.
Yeah.
You know, two months, boom, boom. We put a repertoire together of a bunch of songs that I liked.
Yeah. Before you did any events or anything?
Before I did any events, yeah. Because we couldn't go in there. You can't go in there.
You know? You got to be ready. You got to know your stuff.
And even, I remember, man, my first show, I was nervous, man. And I would have a mic in my hand. My hand would shake.
Yeah.
And my hand would shake. Then I'd start getting nervous and I'd forget the lyrics.
Man.
Se me olvidaba la letra. So sometimes I'd just be like, oh, shit, what can I do? And I just go walk around. Yeah, I overcame that. Yeah. I overcame that, you know, with time, lost that stage fright.
Yeah.
Entonces, so I kept doing shows. And then, you know, I started seeing that show that you told me that you saw.
Yeah.
That was Tengo Talento, Mucho Talento.
That's the one, yeah.
That was Tengo Talento, Mucho Talento. Which opened up a lot of doors for me too.
You did a few of them, huh?
I did 3 seasons.
What was that? Pepe was there, right?
Yeah. Pepe Garza, man. That's.
And then you did a. You actually went to his place, right?
Man, let me tell you how that. Let me tell you
the. That's the, awesome, man.
Let me tell you the process, man. It was so tough.
Was it really?
It was so tough. It was so tough to get to Pepe's office.
He's like an icon, right? In the, he's in the like music the, industry.
Yeah. He's an icon. And it was so tough. But I just never lost hope.
Yeah.
So I went to like a... I'm sorry. After that, I did the castings for Tengo Talento. They had castings here in the United States, whatever.
Yeah.
And this is filmed out of Burbank, California.
Yeah.
So I did the castings. They call me. Boom. They fly me out to Burbank to actually film the show. They're like, congratulations, you're on, whatever.
That's
going to fly you out. So they fly me out. And I'm on the show. But there, I can choose what I want to sing.
Yeah.
So I get there, and I'm doing all cover songs. Some of my favorite cover songs. So it's quarterfinals. No. It's preliminary rounds. They have a preliminary round. Yeah. I get past that. They have a quarterfinals. I get past that. They have semifinals. I get past that. Then they have the finals. So I'm in the finals, right? I'm in the finals. singing other people's songs, of course.
Yeah.
I did a, what did I do at the end? I sang a Calibre 50 song. Sé que has dicho que te vas, ya no estés amenazando.
I love that song.
I got, I think, like 10th place in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
I opened up a lot of doors. I met Pepe Garza. Jenny Rivera was there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Jenny Rivera was there. Hector Suarez, who was a legendary comedian, actor, yeah. Mexican actor, comedian, he was there. I met a lot of cool people, made a lot of friends, a lot of networking.
Yeah.
So then after that, a year passed, or a year and a half, I was like, let's do this shit again, but I'm going to go with my music, my own songs, my own lyrics, my own style, my everything. So I get there. Same thing, semifinals, preliminaries, quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. And I finished off in like the top, I think I was in the top, what? I was almost in the last round of the finals, bro.
Really?
Yeah. As a singer-songwriter, right?
Yeah.
So then I did that and I was like, man. Yeah, I came back and I was still performing. This thing was opening up doors for me.
Yeah.
But I was still performing. Hey, el que fue, tengo talento. People, you know, started saying what's up to me, whatever. Hey, man, I saw you. I voted for you. Hey, thank you. I went, well, I said, man, let's go one more time.
Yeah.
I could win this shit. I've gotten so close. I was like, I could win this. So, yeah, I went again as a singer-songwriter. Same thing, man. I get to the all the way to the finals with my own material. I finished off in the top five. Yeah, in the top five.
What an experience.
Yeah.
And you're talking about networking and how connections can open more doors. I mean, that's what it's all about. Uh-huh. Sometimes you can be the greatest at what you do, but if nobody knows about it, how are you going to get anywhere? You know, it takes so much work, but sometimes just knowing or creating yourself the right opportunity can mm-hmm. make a big difference. And in the music industry, mm-hmm. I can imagine how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
You've accomplished a lot. You've have your own music. You're mm-hmm. a writer. You're an artist. You're a performer. Mm-hmm. You do everything. You do shows. You do events. What do you see yourself doing in the next 5 years? What are your big goals that you're saying? What's next for Rosendo Robles?
My next goal, or my next, you know, I'm going to be real. I haven't had that one hit, you know, that a lot of artists, you know, have that one hit that takes them boom.
Yeah.
And I say this to a lot of people. I might not be the most talented. I might not be the best singer. But man, I feel like I have that heart. That shit that heart that you're just born with, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, So I wrote him a corrido, and he would do lives on Instagram.
Yeah.
And one day I get a message, hey, would you like to be live on Instagram? I was like, yes, let's do this. And so I had a guitar player and an accordion player with me, and I set all this up. I was like, I'm going to sing him half of his corrido, and I'm going to ask him, I'm going to say, hey, if you invite us to your show, I'll sing you the whole thing live with my band. So I sing him, and he was like, you know what? Simón, ahí cuando gustes, quita las puertas abiertas cuando vengas. Live on the Instagram, live that we were on.
Yeah.
Y ya, así quedó. I was like, bad. So I sent him another inbox. I was like, hey, man, you know, ¿para cuando tiene tiempo? Me llevo a todo el grupo conmigo. He gave me a date. It was a few months later. I was like, perfect. I got this time to get ready. I have a few songs ready for whatever. And yeah, man, he came through. I kind of thought it was hard to believe for me.
Yeah.
But I'm like, he's had Ramon Ayala up there. Excuse me. He's done stuff with Vicente Fernandez. He's done stuff with Bronco. He's done stuff with Gerardo Ortiz. And he's going to have me up there? You know, somebody.
Hard to believe, huh? It's like your own.
A complete unknown. I guess you could say. There's a movie called The Complete Unknown, which is a good movie. It's the Bob Dylan story. He's a singer-songwriter from back in the 60s, yeah. 70s.
Legend.
But yeah, a complete unknown. And he's going to have me up here. And a lot, not a lot, not a lot of people believe me. I don't think the músicos, they were like, okay, cool. Nomás siguiéndome el rollo, you know, just, okay, you know. He's going to go up there to Pepe's office. And when the time came, I was like, let's go. We jumped in my van. We went up there. I paid for everybody's. I saved up for this, man. I paid it for everybody's hotel, you know, paid for a couple of meals for them.
Which is a whole side of the industry that you probably don't see.
Bro, I went broke.
Yeah.
I went broke for that. Not broke, but like when I came back, I was like, damn, like I'm very low on money.
Yeah.
I have to save up for, you know, to do what I had to do. And I was renting at the time too. But so I got that out of the way. After that, man, it was just like, you know, what can I do? And I've always been like that, especially with the music.
Yeah.
Get this done? Okay. ¿Qué sigue? What's next? Don't dwell too much on what you've done.
Right.
What's next? So, you know, man, you asked me what I look forward to doing in, you know, in the next 5 years is that, you know, God willing, con la ayuda de Dios, man, primeramente Dios, you know, keep writing. And I keep writing music. I have a mariachi album that's coming out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I have a mariachi album that I plan to release it in September. Which is the Mexican Independence Day month.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite projects I've done. I've released a lot of singles. All of my music is on digital platforms, Apple Music, Amazon Music, everywhere. Spotify, Pandora. I can truly say, man, that I'm really blessed because I purchased a house with my musical earnings.
That's amazing, man.
You know? And thank you. And I never, you know, I can say, you know, I'm not rich. I'm not rich and famous. But man, I'm blessed. I feel that I'm blessed in that aspect, you know?
Yeah.
Like, man, like with my music earnings, you know, I bought this house.
You're achieving your goals and you're doing it your way. You're making your life and you're creating your journey your way, mm-hmm. which is phenomenal, man. So many people have goals and ambitions, but do they actually put in all that work, go through all those experiences and actually keep it going for long enough for it to succeed? A lot of times they fall short. You're talking about almost a decade of persistence to get to that place that you know would open the doors. A lot of times people will do the work, but they don't plan on doing it until it's successful. They plan on doing it, well, for a little bit of time or for whatever it is, but it doesn't matter to them enough. And when it matters to you enough, I feel like you will work on it and continue to make it your priority until you get there, until you achieve them. I'm excited for you, man, because it's no doubt. It's very apparent that you have talent. We listen to your music, man. It's phenomenal work, and you're doing it all out of your own. Like it's coming from you. It's not repeated or anything like that. It's your stuff, which is phenomenal to see. It's refreshing to see in an industry that sometimes there's a lot of copycats, right?
Yeah.
So you're doing everything. You're doing it your own way. We're so excited to see what's next for you, man. See you continue to shine, continue to hit those goals. I want to get you back on the podcast, hopefully at the end of the year, and see where you're at now. I'm guessing there's going to be so many more experiences, so many more things, man.
I got some surprises for you guys.
We're excited.
I got some surprises for you guys, and you guys will see. You guys will see, and I'm excited. I think the whole world's going to see. You know, God willing, everything goes as planned. You know, I just want to give I also want to take the time to give a shout out to the musicians, man, the musicians that helped me out. Yeah. Because if it wasn't for them, los músicos, man, los músicos son los que hacen, you know.
I love that.
Everything possible, you know, you know.
Such a group effort.
Yeah. The tuba player that helps me, el amigo Francisco, you know, the drummer, el baterista, el amigo Gamaliel, the accordion player, you know, Julian Pulido, you know, el amigo, el amigo, the one who started me on this journey, el amigo Antonio, you know, and mi amigo que me acompaña ahorita en la guitar, Adán Rodríguez, man. And, you know, all the musicians that have helped me throughout the world. I still keep, you know, one thing I've always kept is my good relationship with people.
Yeah.
Every single musician that has helped me out that doesn't help me out anymore will still help me out when I ask.
Incredible. That means a lot.
And I tell musicians that, like, I've never had any issues with money, with nobody.
Yeah.
I've never had any issues with disrespect, because respect is the first thing.
Right.
That out of everything, in everything, respect is the first thing, 100%. Right. So I want to give a shout out to the musicos, man. I want to give a shout out to my mother, who is, you know, my biggest supporter, man. My sister Carmen, my sister Esmeralda, my brother Carlos, all of my family. You know, rest in peace to my father and my grandfather, who passed away December 6th, man. You know, my father was my hero.
Yeah.
He was my role model. He was my, man, he was my pillar. It's just, he was my best friend. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, he had a pass, you know, alongside his father, my grandfather. But, you know, I just hope he's watching over me and watching over us. And I want to thank you. And hopefully we can, I feel like I have a lot of stuff that I still have on my chest and I still have in my mind. I also want to, you know, give a shout out to, you know, a todos los Latinos. Quiero mandar un saludo para todos los Latinos. Todos los inmigrantes que desafortunadamente, unos pues ya no están aquí en los Estados Unidos. Quiero decirle a la gente latina, a la gente mexicana, a la gente hispana, you know, que le echen ganas, no se den por vencidos y que, you know, to have faith, nunca pierdan esa fe, que las cosas van a mejorarse. And, you know, if there's anything that I can do for anyone, you know, I might not have much, but if there's anything that I could do for anyone, you know, I'm here. You know, Viva Mexico.
I love that message, man.
Viva los Latinos.
I think it's important for us to.
Yep. Better times are upon us.
100%.
Los días mejores están por venir. Mi gente, no pierdan la esperanza. Y pues aquí estamos. Estamos pasando por momentos difíciles. We're going through some tough times. It's unfortunate, man, but you know, I'm here for anyone. I'm here for anyone who needs guidance or any words of advice or support.
100%, man. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I 100%. I think it's so important for us to make our voice heard and to, you know, say the words that need to be said in the moments of crisis, of moments of need. So,
and to the people who, you know, who are saying, hey, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you protesting? Why are you
supporting?
Why are you putting this shit up? Because I can and because I want to. And if, you know, God gave me a voice and God gave me a platform, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Because, you know, I come from immigrants. That's where I come from. Those are my roots. And I'm a firm believer of never forget where you came from and who you came from. I stand on what I believe in.
Yeah.
I stand on what I believe in. And you know, I know people, and I've seen people who a few years ago, you know, they were, you know, oh, yeah, you know, everything's, you know, whoever comes to this country, yeah, they should be kicked out. Whoever comes to this country. Hispanos, bro.
Yeah.
Hispanics. Hispanics that, oh, whoever comes to this country. Hispanics that came here.
Right.
You know, oh, whoever comes to this country shall be kicked out, whatever, illegally. You know, kick all of them out of there. And now that this is all happening, it's kicking them in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, because they have a family member. They have a, you know, they know someone. who's getting deported, who's going through all this stuff. So don't be fake. It is what it is, man. It just be, stand on what you believe in.
Right.
100%.
So important for us to voice our opinion, man, and be able to be that voice of reasoning, especially when times of crisis. Yeah. I appreciate you, man. Rosendo, thank you so much for being on my podcast. We will have to have a part two for this, man. There's so much more to talk about.
Absolutely, man. God willing, primeramente Dios, man. Like you said, in the wintertime,
yeah,
or a few months down the road, I'm always open, man. I'm a phone call away or a text message away.
We'll have to run it back. Thank you so much. Sir. Appreciate it, man.
God bless you.